Hello, this is Pastor Patrick Hines, and I'd like to do another installment of Basic Biblical Christianity, just these short doctrinal segments going through the Westminster Confession of Faith and looking at what the Word of God says about the great doctrines of the faith. So this is point number 4 of chapter 1 of the Westminster Confession of Faith of Holy Scripture, and this one says, the authority of the Holy Scripture for which it ought to be believed and obeyed depends not upon the testimony of any man or church, but wholly upon God, who is truth itself, the author thereof. And therefore it is to be received because it is the word of God. And so what's this section is really communicating is that God, if he really has spoken to us in Scripture, can only speak with ultimate and final authority. And so Scripture's authority is intrinsic. It is inherent to Scripture because of what it is, because it is God-breathed. That great biblical passage in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture is God-breathed. That phrase, papha, all graphe, Scripture, theopneustos, is God-breathed. Papha graphe theopneustos, all Scripture is God-breathed. And as such, it is to be received and held as being Scripture by God's people because of what it is. And so Scripture does not derive any authority at all from the church. It does not derive any authority at all from any man. But it is to be received as the Word of God by the people of God because of its intrinsic, inherent authority. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or all Scripture is God-breathed, and is profitable for teaching or doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Now, the issue of canon, as we talked about last time, the Apocrypha is not part of the canon of Scripture because the apocryphal books are not inspired. They are not God-breathed. The issue of canon is a very important issue. How do we know what books are supposed to be in the Bible? Very often you will hear people cite things like the Council of Nicaea. Well, you know, at the Council of Nicaea, people voted on what books were going to be in the Bible, and these are the ones that made it in. That is perfectly false. First of all, the Council of Nicaea did not even address what books were supposed to be in the canon of Scripture. The word canon simply referring to the list of Scripture. That's C-A-N-O-N, not two N. Two N's is the military piece that fires at people. C-A-N-O-N is the list of books that are in the Bible. And always remember that. Books are part of the canon because they are God-breathed, not because the church says they are. And this is very important to recognize because the Roman Catholic Church to this day still says that we have an infallible collection of books because the church is infallible and the church infallibly collected them. One of the big problems with that argument is that April of 1546 is the first time that the Roman Catholic Church in an ecumenical council supposedly defined what was in the canon of Scripture. Now, the idea that what books were Scripture was somehow in doubt or somehow in question before that is absurd. When Augustine writes his commentaries on Scripture, when he writes sermons, he doesn't doubt, even though Augustine seems to have thought that the Apocrypha was part of Scripture. Augustine was wrong about that. I think Augustine thought that because he thought the Apocrypha was Scripture, because he thought it was part of the Septuagint. He really did think it was part of the Old Testament Scripture. And as I said before, the more that early Christians knew about Jewish backgrounds and the more they knew about the Old Testament, the less likely they were to make the mistake of thinking that the apocryphal books were actually part of the canon of Scripture, which they were not, and they never were. So what this point of the confession is really addressing is, from where does Scripture derive its authority? Scripture derives its authority not from church councils that put out lists of books that have been received by God's people or anything like that. The authority of Holy Scripture does not depend upon the testimony of an individual or of the church, but wholly upon God. When God speaks, he only speaks with final and absolute and unquestioned authority. And as soon as we say, well, how do we know that that's really God? If you answer that question with anything other than because God has spoken directly in his word, this is the speaking of God, there is no authority higher than this, then whatever your authority is that you use to prove the authority of Scripture, then that would be your ultimate authority. So this is very important with regard to apologetics. It's very important with regard to how we talk to non-Christians about the Christian faith. Everybody has an ultimate authority. And for the vast majority of unbelievers today, their ultimate authority for what they believe, it really is this simple. Here's their ultimate authority. What I happen to think is true right now. That's their ultimate authority. For the Christian, what we happen to think or believe really doesn't matter. For the Christian, the ultimate authority for what we are to believe is the Bible, is what Scripture says, not our feelings, not what we like or don't like. It's always going to be God speaking directly in Scripture. Now, another passage that is extremely important is 2 Peter chapter 1, 19 and following, where Peter says, after speaking about the transfiguration, Peter was there for the transfiguration, where the Father spoke about Christ in 2 Peter 1:17, citing back from the Gospels, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And Peter says, "And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, or the New American Standard. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Now, this passage has nothing to do with condemning private interpretation of Scripture. We all have to engage in private interpretation, not only of Scripture, but we have to engage in the private interpretation of every kind of communication that comes to us. There is no avoiding the interpretation of any form of communication that we get, whether it's spoken, written, gestures, or whatever. Everyone has to privately interpret language. Everyone has to privately interpret anything they hear or read, whether it's the Bible or anything else. So when the Roman Catholic Church says that this passage is condemning private interpretation, the Roman Catholic individual cannot avoid private interpretation. They have to privately interpret everything. Scripture, history, tradition, the pronouncements of their church, the pronouncements of popes, everything else. Private interpretation is as unavoidable to communication as breathing is to talking. So there's no avoiding private interpretation. What 2 Peter chapter 1, 20 and 21 is addressing is the origin of Scripture. No prophecy, nothing in Scripture, no prophecy of Scripture was ever made by an act of human will. In other words, it didn't originate with man, but rather men moved by the Holy Spirit. And that term that's used there, the Greek verb that's used there, is the verb pharaoh. Okay, not like the Egyptian pharaoh, but it's the Greek word pharaoh, which means to bear or carry along. So holy men of God spoke as they were carried along, pharaomenoi, being carried along by the Holy Spirit, by the pneumatos hagiou. The Holy Spirit carried them along, and thus they spoke from God. These holy men of old spoke from God in Scripture as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So that's really what makes Scripture what it is. It's not the testimony of the church that says this book's Scripture and that book's not. That the church really never did that. The church received from God the books that he inspired. The church didn't pronounce or give authority to Scripture. And it's a total anachronism, meaning taking a later concept that develops later and reading it back into the early church to act like those early provincial councils of Hippo, Carthage, and Rome were somehow making authoritative what was previously unknown. Because the fact is, Christians have been quoting and using the books of the Bible as Scripture in the fullest sense of that word long before any of those councils ever met to put down lists of books that have been received by God's people. So just to summarize, the authority of Scripture for which it ought to be believed and obeyed depends not upon the testimony of any man or church, but wholly or entirely on God, who is truth itself, the author thereof, and therefore it is to be received because it is the Word of God. Because it is the Word of God. Not because the church says it's inspired. Not because men say it's inspired. But because of its intrinsic authority. And as soon as those books of the New Testament were written and received by God's people, they were held to be scripture and they were quoted and preached and read as scripture. And that's the thing, when you read those apostolic church fathers, and you read Polycarp, and you read Ignatius, and you read those real early writers, they're already quoting the books of the New Testament. They didn't think they needed a church council to tell them that these books were scripture, but in order for those books to function as scripture. Why? Because what the Westminster Confession says is true. What 2 Timothy 3:16 says is true. Scripture is God-breathed. These men, the prophecies that they wrote and the scripture that they wrote did not originate from the human will, but they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so we believe the Bible to be what it is because of its intrinsic authority as the Word of God. And as soon as we go outside the Word of God to try to prove its authority or to authenticate it, we have moved away from Scripture as our ultimate authority. Thank you for watching or listening.